And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. We've been featuring athletes from the area that have done well, whether it be in college or making it to the pros. We've been doing that all week long. And today we conclude that series with Mark Simoneau, and Mark joins us. Mark, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I know you and I were talking the other day about you and I. We're parents, and we're all adjusting to the new way of life, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a big change. Hopefully we won't have to do this much longer, but we'll see.
Yeah, I hope you're right about that. Well, let's give a little background on Mark Simoneau, if you don't know, for some of you younger people out there. Mark was one of the best Smith Center and Kansas State football players of all time. Mark was All-State as a senior linebacker and running back. During his senior season, Mark rushed for 2,252 yards and 21 touchdowns for the Redmen in 1994. He was the 1995 Class 3A state shot put champion with a state record heave at that time of over 60 feet. In 2011, Mark was inducted into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame. As a senior at K-State in 1999, he was a first-team All-American, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, runner-up for the Butkus Award. He went on to spend 10 seasons in the NFL as a linebacker, was elected to the College Football Hall of Fame in 2012. Mark played 10 seasons in the league, or for a decade, with the Falcons, the Eagles, the Saints, and finished his career with the Chiefs, finished with over 370 tackles in his career, and he led the Eagles in tackles during the 2003 season. Pretty impressive resume. And Mark, I want to go back to high school, and we'll work our way forward, if you don't mind. How did your high school career evolve from when you were a freshman to your senior season? Because at Smith Center, they always had talent, and it was its tradition at Smith Center, and it carried on after you graduated. How did you evolve personally as a player, as a young man, from a freshman when, you know, you're looking up going, I got all these bigger guys I got to go against, to your senior season?
Yeah, I was kind of, I would say, probably a late bloomer as far as physically. I was always a decent athlete growing up, but I wasn't a very big kid, and even going back to seventh and eighth grade, I think going into my seventh grade year, I was like maybe 80 pounds, somewhere in that range. So I was just a smaller kid, but did track and played baseball. And we didn't have football until middle school, but I was just very active and with athletics. I had two older brothers, 10 years and 8 years older, and they both were athletes. My oldest brother was a basketball player, and my other brother was a football player, so I had those guys to look up to. But going into my freshman year, it was definitely an adjustment. And I know growing up, you know, in Smith Center, you know, you look and watch the football team from afar, and always want to be like those guys on Friday nights. And going into that freshman year, you're just trying to figure out how to compete against the juniors and seniors. It's different, you know. I'm coaching now at Gardner Edgerton. I've been at schools, you know, when you're at a smaller school, if the freshmen practice with the juniors and seniors, most places out this way, the freshmen have their own practice. So it's a little bit different from a physical standpoint of where you're at. So anyway, went in there, and I know that as a freshman player, it kind of helped me understand how important getting in the weight room and get stronger and those things were. And after after my freshman football season is when I got pretty involved with, you know, lifting weights and trying to get stronger and improving in that way. Really focused in on that. And going into my sophomore year, I had the opportunity to play on defense. I played the defensive end position and started as a sophomore at a defensive end, and then I was a backup at running back my sophomore year. And then my junior year, that was my first year of starting both running back, and I played defensive end. And then my senior year was my first year of playing linebacker.
So, how tall and how much did you weigh as a freshman? How tall and how much did you weigh when you were a senior?
Height, I'm not 100% sure. Like, I know, I think I weighed probably around 100, and I think I weighed close to like 140. Something like that my freshman year, probably 140, 145. And then my senior year, going into the season, I was probably around 210-ish, somewhere in there. And during the course of the season, because I played, you know, both sides of the ball and I carried the ball a lot and it was pretty active. I was probably down to 190 pounds by the end of the season, just because of all the running and stuff that we would do. But yeah, I mean, it was a pretty steady. Like I think when I looked at it, I was obviously seventh grade. I was like 80 pounds, and then I maybe hit 100 when I was in seventh grade, and then I was like 120, 125 as an eighth grader,
right.
And then I was like 150 as a freshman, and then I was 175, 180 range as a sophomore, and I was 195 as a junior, and then I was 210 as a senior.
Well,
it was steady, but it was. Yeah.
You had to be in good shape, obviously, because you and I talked the other day about how you had to carry the ball almost 40 times, and you played three games in the span of 9 or 10 days, and you were the workhorse there in the backfield. You had to be in pretty good shape, and it's funny because you know you look at it now. You told me over the phone the other day. Well, I didn't think much of it at the time when I carried the ball so much. It wasn't a big deal, really. I felt okay after all that, but now what you know today, you probably look at that and go, "That's crazy! I carried the ball that many times."
Yeah. I mean, going to that playoff scenario where you play on a Friday night and then a Tuesday and then a Saturday, and you think about just that many games in that short a period of time, the way it was set up at that time. And then, yeah, exactly when you're talking about, you know, rushing the ball 25 plus times a game, you know, that's pretty taxing from a football standpoint. So, but when you're young, you just go, you know, and doesn't matter. And as a football player, it's like, hey, if we got to play, we got to play. It doesn't really matter. You just got to go do it.
That's right. Mark Cimino, former Smith Center, K-State standout, and former NFL player, I guess, today on the Sports Ticket. Now, you played for a couple of legendary coaches. You played for Roger Barta at Smith Center, and then you played for Bill Snyder at Kansas State. What was it like playing for those two legends? I mean, that's pretty impressive. You could play football for those two gentlemen.
Oh, no doubt. Like, I mean, I was definitely blessed to have incredible coaches. You know, Coach Barta being at Smith Center, and again, like, just coach with the program itself. Like, as a young kid in Smith Center, that's, you know, what you look up to is those guys and that program, and what it means to be a Smith Center Redmond football player, and that's what Coach Barta created there. And then obviously, as you get into your program, the things that he taught as far as from a fundamental standpoint of how to play the game, from a toughness standpoint, how to play the game, from doing the right things off the field. So many life lessons that are taught through that program. And obviously it's continued on even after Coach is retired. So blessed to be able to play for Coach and all the things he had taught me. And then, obviously, going to Kansas State, my time there was, I would say, I mean, I don't know that there would have been a better time to be at Kansas State than the years that I was there, from 1995 to 1999. We made a really, really good run there during that period of time. We had some just incredible football players, some incredible coaches on the coaching staff. It was just a special time there. And Coach Snyder is, you know, I mean, he's just a very consistent type person, a hardworking person, leads by example. Obviously, the X's and O's part of it, but just the consistency of the program, the expectation of the program, and rising to those expectations, I think, is what made him such a great coach.
Mark Cimino is our guest today on the Sports Ticket. So when you're going, you're senior at high school, you end up going to K-State and have a great career there. We'll talk about that in a moment. Was K-State always your first choice? Did you have other offers? Did it come down to a couple schools, or was K-State kind of on the top of your list all along?
I don't think I had any other offers. Maybe a junior college or actually, I mean, I know a junior college was interested in me, but yeah, my middle brother Jeff, he went to he was at Kansas State to finish his career, and that was his last year was 92. Mm-hmm. So they kind of knew he had a younger brother, so that probably gave me a little bit of an advantage of being looked at, I think, by them. And again, I was a little bit of a late bloomer, so even as a junior, I don't know that, you know, early on, like, I would have probably been a guy that a Division I school would be recruiting, but I guess long story short, you know, my senior year, you know, I remember that they wanted me to go to the camp in the summertime. Kansas State did, but I didn't end up going. And then I think our third or fourth game of the year, Jim Levitt, who was my linebackers coach my first year there, and later on is head coach or at South Florida, and he started that program. And he's been to Colorado and all these other places. He'd been in the NFL coaching, but he came and watched one of our games. I think it was at Victoria. He came and watched, and then after that game, they offered me a scholarship. And then I think I waited like 3 or 4 days, and then I basically committed to them. But yeah, it was a school that, because my brother was there, I knew, kind of had a better idea of what the program was about. They turned it around. It was going in the right direction. It was kind of a no-brainer. And plus, there was nobody else that was going to offer me a scholarship. And it was a perfect choice for me.
Absolutely. Mark turned into one of the best linebackers to ever play at Kansas State. He played for the Wildcats from 96 to 99, redshirted his first year. He was a four-year starter, a three-time captain. During his 4 years at K-State, as Mark just alluded to, a pretty good time to be at K-State. K-State's football record over those 4 years, 42-7, the most successful four-year stretch in school football history. And in 1996, Mark was the Big 12 Defensive Freshman of the Year, and as a senior, he's a first-team All-American, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, and runner-up for the Butkus Award, and he finished his K-State career ranked second all-time in tackles at the time, with 400 in tackles for losses, played in four bowl games for K-State, led the team in tackles as a junior and senior, and was named first team All-Big 12 three times and honored with his name added to the K-State Ring of Honor in 2008. Well, 42 wins and 7 losses is pretty impressive, Mark. What's the one of the 42? What's the biggest one that stands out of those 42 wins as a player at Kansas State that was the most important to you, or that was maybe the most emotional? What was one big win that stood out to you?
I mean, there were a few, but I think that the biggest win was beating Nebraska in 1998 at home. So we were ranked number one going into that game. I think we'd just gotten ranked number one, and we haven't, I don't know how many years, it was 30 some years that we had not beaten Nebraska. We had good teams those years prior. I was thinking back to 95, 96, and 97, like good teams, but we just could never get it done against Nebraska. And that win, the emotion of that game was just unbelievable. And again, I mean, you're fighting against not just Nebraska, but kind of that history of not being able to get over that hump, and to be able to do that was really special.
Mark Siminar, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. You know, I've talked to a lot of coaches over the years. I coach at a very low level in regards to my kids and like traveling sports and things like that. I coached baseball during the summer, and I played sports, but not nearly as good as you were. And the thing that stands out as a player and as a coach, because I was a very competitive person, I still am to this day, is that when I talk to various people that are kind of geared the same way as I am at times, maybe even more so, is that you remember wins like you did, but there's also that you remember some of the losses maybe even more vividly than wins, which is unfortunate because you have such an unbelievable successful season, and it usually doesn't end. Not very often does it end with a win at the end of the year. Now, it can in football a little bit more in college because you have all the bowl games. But, for instance, you know, state basketball, state football, there's one winner at the end of the season that's hosting up the trophy. I would imagine the toughest loss of those seven was the Big 12 title game, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, that was terrible. So I mean, that was as bad as they get. You know, the way the game went, obviously, what was on the line for the game, and then not be able to finish that out when you know you had such a special football team that was able to be assembled during that time. But yeah, I mean, it's. Again, that's one that definitely hurts to this day.
Yeah, so. And I don't mean to bring up old wounds, but I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask you about that one, because that's certainly a game that stands out for folks. And I remember watching that game, and it was amazing how it's amazing what happens in sports, how quickly things can change on a dime. And And I know that was tough for you to deal with, and you guys remember that very vividly to this day, along with the big win against Nebraska back in 98 as well. Okay, so you get inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. You're just the second K-State player with that distinguishment. Gary Spaney is the other. Did you expect that, and what were your feelings when you received the news about being inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame?
Well, I mean, I was not expecting that, you know, especially, I guess, you know, that was a few years ago. You know, that wasn't anything that I had any expectation of at all at any point. So that was not something that I had, was, you know, when I was playing, I was hoping for, or when I was done, you know, I was hoping for. It wasn't anything like that. It just, Mr. Curry had sent me had called me and just let me know that they were going to put me up for it, and then obviously when I got the news, it was pretty crazy as far as the kind of emotions and all the memories it brought back. But I mean, anytime again, that is a product of our teams that we had at Kansas State, the players that we had at Kansas State, you know, from a defensive side. You know, the people that play around you, like especially the way we played, like everybody had to do their job on every single play. Like if I was a certain run play, like I had to fit in a certain spot. The Mike linebacker had to fit in a certain spot. The three tech had to fit in a certain spot on every single play. And that, we were so good because everybody knew their job and attacked their job and dominated that person they had to dominate during that certain play. So anyway, like it just, I mean, again, I think it's just a reflection of the quality of teams that we had, and obviously just putting some consistency as far as having the opportunity to play for 4 years and have success. And it was, you know, it was special for me and for my family and for people that have known me for a long time.
Absolutely. Now, you were drafted in the third round by the Falcons in the spring of 2000. You spent a decade in National Football League with the Falcons, Eagles, Saints, finished up your career with the Chiefs before a series of injuries led you to retire ahead of the 2010 season. How often did you play injured, and how did the injuries wear on you physically and emotionally?
Well, I mean, when I was younger, like, again, I think – In anything, it's always about, you know, taking advantage of your opportunities at the right times, especially NFL, about gaining trust with your coaches and those things. So as a young player, getting drafted by Atlanta, in college I was a weak side linebacker, which is kind of more of a space type player. And some of the things we would do on our nickel defense, I was playing our Mike linebacker and our nickel defense. So when I got to Atlanta, they had kind of seen me as a Sam linebacker. So just starting my career out, it was a matter of kind of figuring out a new position and like getting used to those things. And kind of the course of my career, I played all positions. I played Sam, I played Mike, I played Will. I played in a 3-4 systems. I played in 4-3 systems. From an injury standpoint, I know my first year I had an injury that by my last preseason game, so I ended up missing a couple games. I had to play through some of that some of those injuries early in my rookie year. My second year, right before the season started, I had a foot injury that slowed me down during training camp, and that was going to be I was excited because I thought that was going to be my big year. Late in that year, I had put together some good games because we had some injuries in front of me. So I got to start and put some good games on tape. And then my third year in Atlanta, I had an injury, at the very end of training camp. And then I missed the first game. And then I ended up, you know, mainly playing special teams that season. And then based on the tape I had, from that, my second year of the Eagles brought me in. They traded for me to go there. And I mean, when you look at the games that I've missed during the course of my career from an injury standpoint, like the first 8 years, I think I only missed maybe two or three total games, mm-hmm. regular season games. So it wasn't like I was injured. It was the timing. And then at the end of my career, it was, I think, more of, you know, my ninth, tenth, it just seemed like my body just could not handle the stress of training camp. It was just, you know, it was too much. Yeah. Nowadays, it's different. Like, the training camp's way different. The way they set it up, I don't know that they practice much twice a day. They definitely end up going pads twice a day. And we were doing pads twice a day for many, many days in a row, full out. So I think when I got to 31, 32 years old, my body just wasn't able to handle that much stress.
Yeah, exactly. Mark Cimino, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. So during the 2005 season, you're a linebacker in the National Football League. You kick an extra point for your first NFL point. That was the first defensive player to kick an extra point in 25 years. So I kind of want to combine this together. Is that your fondest memory of the NFL, or what is your fondest memory of the NFL, and then how'd that come about, of kicking an extra point?
That is not my fondest memory.
Okay. Probably the funniest, maybe.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I mean,
and you made it. You made it, by the way. I want everybody to know you made it.
Yeah, we had a guy. Well, I had made one, and then the next week I missed one.
Oh, well, we don't want to talk about that.
I was 50%. But we had a guy on our team named Chad Lewis. He was a tight end.
Yeah, I remember him
when I was in Philadelphia, and he was our backup kicker, and he was struggling in practice. And we practiced this in Philadelphia. Coach Reed, I mean, he's like, we got to have somebody that's, in case our kicker gets hurt, like, what are we going to do? So, Dave Akers ends up getting injured, pulls his hamstring in a game, and it just was like 3 weeks prior they decided that I was going to be the backup kicker, because they're like, has anybody kicked before? And at Smith Center, I kicked off, and I did extra points, and I did all that, kicked field goals my junior and senior year at Smith Center. So I'm like, well, I did this in high school, so then I kicked a few, and I was able to get through the uprights, and ends up, I mean, again, I played for many years college, and then we never had a situation like that come up, but on the other teams. But it did work out that Akers went down, and we had to go in, and Mike Bartram was our long snapper. He ended up doing kickoff, and I did the extra point. So yeah, that was pretty crazy. But
it's a cool video. I know. I watched it over yesterday, and you know, the only kicker I know with a neck roll, as I saw people commenting, you had the neck roll there to kick an extra point.
yeah, no doubt. It was pretty funny. But and it was a neat. I mean, with the San Francisco game, we kind of beat them up a little bit. It was kind of icing on the cake having a moment like that during the game.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, so right now you're at Gardner-Edgerton. You coach, and you're a certified strength and conditioning specialist. How do you like that position?
I enjoy it. I enjoy working with the kids. You know, I ran a private facility for about 7.5 years. The difference, I think, in the two is consistency. The private facility, like, you wouldn't get to see the kids all year long. Being at the high school, you know, I think from an impact standpoint, it allows me to work with the kids more, have more consistency with them, and I think have a bigger impact overall. And it's fun to do in a team setting as well. So I really enjoy it.
Well, that's awesome. How have you passed any of your athleticism to your children? Somebody wanted me to ask you that.
I don't know. I mean, I've got two daughters, so 10, and my other daughter is going to be 8 here in a few days. But yeah, I think they're pretty they're pretty athletically inclined. My oldest daughter is a gymnast, so she's a level 7 gymnast, which if you know anything about gymnastics, they have level 10. So you have to be a level 10 to be able to do college gymnastics. So she's 10 and she's a 7. So she's on a path right now. I think she'd like to do gymnastics in college. But, again, she's 10 years old. I didn't know what I was thinking about at 10 years old. So, and then my other daughter, she's a little longer and taller for her age, and she plays basketball and soccer, and she does do gymnastics, just not as into it. But we work on things, and they like to, I mean, during this quarantine, they've been on the trampoline probably about 5 hours a day over there, and then playing basketball. So they've been working. They've been having fun.
Well, you grew up with just brothers, and so then you have daughters. Is that a welcome change, or is that quite the adjustment?
Well, I mean, I'm used to it by now.
Yeah,
I've got my wife, and we had a dog, and it was a girl dog, and then we had a daughter, and then another daughter. So I mean, I'm outnumbered here, so I've gotten used to it.
You're the opposite of my family. I have three boys, and the cat's a boy, obviously me, and then my wife is outnumbered. So you and my wife have that in common. You're outnumbered. She has veto power, though, in my household. Do you have veto power?
I don't know. I don't know about that.
I would guess you don't. That's what I would guess.
Yeah. I get ganged up on a little bit.
All right.
It's all right, though.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. All right. Last question for you before we let you go. We do an off-the-wall question at the end of every interview. So here's your off-the-wall question. It ties to what we were just talking about a little bit ago. If you put on the pads right now and you went out, and they asked you to kick an extra point in an NFL game. Let's say the Chiefs called, and they needed a guy for one game. Could you make an extra point in an NFL game tomorrow if you laced it up?
Could I make an extra point?
Piece of cake.
Yeah, I can make an extra point. Yeah. I mean, it's an extra point. Whoa, wait a second, though.
It's longer, 33.
It's different now.
Yes.
It's different now. Yeah, I don't know. I probably couldn't do that.
You change your tune.
I was thinking high school. Yeah, what is it now, like 35?
33, I think. Yeah,
33. Yeah, I don't know about that.
You're not so confident now, are you?
Yeah, I'm not too confident about that now. I was thinking about that short one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably not going to send any linebackers out there to do that now.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. And the last off-the-wall question of you and your two brothers, if you guys had to go one-on-one, it's in regards to, you know, a tackling competition, who would win?
Now?
Yeah, right now. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like, I mean, it depends on what part of the day it was. You know, if it's early in the morning, like, none of us can really get anything done, but, you know. As the day goes on and the joints get loosened up a little bit, like it'd be pretty close.
It'd be a good battle. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it'd be a good battle.
The clash of the Titans. We've been watching on TV, my kids and everything, and we finally saw the finale there on Hulu the other day, and that'd be the clash of the Seminoles. That'd be good stuff. That'd be fun to watch, I think.
Maybe.
Mark, we greatly appreciate your time sharing your memories of high school and college and the pros. Anything you want to say to the folks out here in North Central Kansas in the Smith Center area before I let you go?
I mean, great people, and I know that now is it's kind of a strange time, but I know that everything will be getting back to normal soon. So I don't get back there very often just because my family lives, my parents live near me at Spring Hill, but I really enjoy getting back to that area and seeing the people.
Mark, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.
That's Mark Simoneau, our guest today on The Sports Ticket.